last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are a true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of The Last Savior. Well, I am Asma. I'm your host for today's episode, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Well, here with me, we have a brother, Alavi. He has a PhD of philosophy, and he's an Islamic researcher, so I guess today we're going to have a lot to learn from him. So, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Well, previously on The Last Savior, we talked about our duties in the time of occultation. Well, we said that we cannot sit just idly and do nothing while we have too much of duties. Yes, we talked about the Mosque of Jamkaran, and we said that maybe in past, people did not have much of insight about this mosque, but then little by little, as time went on, I guess right now there's no one in this world who could claim that he or she does not have a knowledge about this mosque. But the thing is that there are many conjectures and thoughts over that. And there are some people who say if there's any document saying that this mosque is a holy place, or I don't know, going there has got some rewards or not, or things like that. So we would like you to just shed some lights over that.
Asking for proofs in all recommended actions is of no use.
Yeah.
Look, when, for example, you are going to enter a masjid here in our vicinity here in the place that now we are talking together, do you think it's quite wise to ask me that, can I enter this masjid or go and do and perform my prayers there or not? This is a masjid,
of course not.
A sacred place, and you go there, and it's based on your own taste to go into this masjid or not. Because this is a place that has been built for prayer as a masjid. Jamkaran is a masjid.
Just the house of God.
Yeah, the house of God. So to ask about a document, I don't know, a proof behind it that, okay, what are the proofs behind this Jamkaran? I think it's something in vain to search for the documents behind it. We have some hadith that are called, they are known and famous as the hadith man balagh, just for the reward that we might receive. For example, if we see a person in the street, or for example, based on a duty that we have, we say salam to him.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, we understand that, wow, he was a criminal and we were saying salam to him. Did we make a mistake? No, we performed our Islamic duty. We said salam.
Yeah.
And definitely we'll reach the thawab or the reward that has been given for this salam.
Exactly.
Right?
Second, you did what you had to do.
What we had to do. For example, there is a masjid called Jamkaran. Is it good to go there? Is it good to go to any masjid in the world?
Of course it is.
But for this masjid that became very important, and plenty of people in the last centuries until today have entered here and did lots of ibadah and worship and for such a long time. So I think only this ibadah itself gives this importance to this land, if there is no document and proof behind it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have seen lots of good people, I mean, among the scholars and order people, went there, did lots of ibadah and worship, Baituta and whatever is known. For example, some did i'tikaf in the Ayyam al-Bidh in the month of Rajab. So sometimes the ibadah of a person gives importance to the place, the land that he is in.
Exactly.
For example, the place that you are now living in, it was not, for example, a place, for example, a century ago.
Yeah.
Now, due to your ibadah, the ibadah of you and your family, that place becomes important because a believer, Muslim, is there and prays, five-time prayers at least, and the other people in your family. So this gives importance to that place.
So the worship that happens there
gives it the
importance that
definitely
it already has.
Moreover, we have seen the behavior and treatment of the scholars, like Ayatollah Burujerdi, like Ayatollah Bajar, the scholars and the Ayatollah Safi, the late Ayatollah Safi. We have seen that they have gone there and they perform their prayers there.
Mm-hmm.
And they even ask people to go there and to perform their prayers there. Even once, a person asked Ayatollah Safi, the late Ayatollah Safi, that when we go to Jam Karan, should we perform our prayers with the intention of Raja or with the intention of Wurud? Raja and Wurud means, that is, it has been mentioned something in the hadith from the Ahlul Bayt and the infallible Imams that it is recommended to say. He replied after pondering, he said, no, with the intention of Wurud. That is, there are some documents, there are some proofs behind it. Regardless of all those proofs and documents and narrations that come and has been narrated from the Masjid of Jam Karan, the Mosque of Jam Karan, so it's a sacred place, and it's good for us to go and pray there as well.
Exactly, just like every other.
This is a recommended mustahab action.
Yeah. So before we get into some more, let's go for a short break, and then we'll be back.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Yes, we talked already about the Mosque of Jam Karan. Let's talk about the meaning of waiting for the promised Imam to come.
Actually, intidar, or waiting for the arrival and advent of Imam, has two meanings. One is a positive and the second is a negative. The positive meaning of intidar is to be waiting for a comprehensive humanistic system. The system in which you're waiting is the system that there is no fault and there is no deficiency in it. In the positive meaning of intidar and awaiting for the arrival of Imam is to wait for a comprehensive, faultless system that comes by an infallible person and is introduced to the whole world without any mistake. And it's 100% comprehensive and pure.
And it's all-inclusive.
And established based on justice.
Mm-hmm. It's not just for the Muslim people.
For the whole humanity.
Yeah. The entire humanity are waiting for someone to come and to just save them.
Mankind is in thirst of justice.
Yeah.
The whole mankind is actually looking for that justice. An enlightened system that actually looks for the rights of the people and annihilating the battle from the scene of the earth. So waiting in this worldview is very good and positive.
Exactly.
But does it nullify our duties?
Of course not.
Not. So we have.
Maybe it even doubles it.
So we are striving to reach to that level.
Mm-hmm.
We are not waiting for Imam just to come to solve all these issues.
Miraculously, everything is going to be solved over one night.
Definitely. So the opposite side is quite clear now. The negative meaning of intidar or awaiting of Imam alayhi salam. That is what? That is, we are silent towards any mistake, towards any weakness, towards any oppression.
Any tyrant, any...
And we are leaving the whole thing on the shoulder of Imam to come and solve it and resolve it. So we are doing nothing, just we are waiting for him to come and inshallah he will come and he will do everything. This is quite common, unfortunately, among even the Muslims. And unfortunately, to say more dreadfully, even some of the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt.
But that's not true, because one of our duty is to pave the road for him to come.
That's it.
Yeah.
So we have to do our best. We have to strive. We have to perform our duty and prepare the world for him to come to finish the whole thing and to sign it forever.
Just in order to get prepared for the last part of today's episode, we have to go for a short break, so.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. Well, this is The Last Savior. We have been talking about our duties, and then we went through the whole idea of the Mosque of Jamkaran, and then also we are talking about the concept of awaiting at the time of occultation, and what does it mean, and the things just like that. So we said that the idea of waiting is not just to sit idle and then think that, okay, the promised Imam would come and solve everything miraculously, as if just everything is going to happen just over one night and everything is going to change and it would be going happily ever after. It's not just like that. As a true believer who has been submitted himself or herself into this waiting, we have to pave the road for our Imam to come.
Very true. At the time of conquering of Mecca, the Prophet forgive all the Meccans. He said, "Antum al-tulaqa, all of you are free, except a very few number of people, two or three. One of them was a person who was involved in the martyrdom of Hamza Sayyid al-Shahada.
Yeah.
He fled and he escaped towards Yemen. And he was there for a long time. So when the Prophet came back to Medina, and he understood that, okay, the Prophet and his companions actually have made a city-state in Medina, and the people are following them. And he found that, okay, there is no way for him to come back to Mecca or Medina.
Yeah.
And he has to stay in Yemen forever. He decided to come to Medina and make some mediation through some people to tell the Holy Prophet that I made a mistake and forgive me.
Yeah.
Look, when he came back and through some people, he came in the Masjid al-Nabawi and he stood in front of the Holy Prophet. And as soon as the Prophet saw him, he actually put his head downwards. And he was waiting for something to happen. And
so he didn't even say a word?
No, the Prophet didn't say a word. And then he said, "You just go out of my eyes."
Yeah.
You are forgiven. Just be somewhere so that I don't see you anywhere.
Exactly.
And he was forgiven. The companions asked the Holy Prophet, "Why were you staying for a couple of minutes?" And he said, "Nothing." He said, "Because I was waiting for you to do something. You know what was my decree on this. You know that I said that he has to be killed. It's not my duty to come and kill him by myself. You see?"
Yeah.
He said, "I was waiting for you to do your action when I saw that you are not knowing about your action, your duties. So I forgive him."
Yeah.
"But I told him, just get out of my eye."
Mm-hmm. So since he's the paragon of kindness and compassion, he forgave him. But the duty of other people who were there was to just kill that.
And the duty was still there.
Yeah.
And the duty was still there. I mean, when the Prophet or the Imam says something, it's not only for a certain period of time.
Exactly.
It's like Al-Quran. I mean, they say because we said that they are together. It's like the Holy Quran. And what the Quran says, they are interpreters of the Holy Quran. If the Prophet or the infallible Imam says something, is the same way of the Quran. It's not going to be for a certain period of time.
Exactly. So it could be applied to nowadays as well. So
yeah.
If we see any tyranny, any oppression,
so we are going
we
to
have to just fight
leave the
back.
Burden of that oppression on the shoulder of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, for him to come to do everything. No.
Yeah.
He's waiting for us to come up and to do our duties. Then he knows what to do and he knows when to come.
Exactly. Yeah. So thank you, Brother Alavi.
Thanks, too.
Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us until another episode of The Last Savior. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa salam.